Bestsellers aplenty, memes a dime a dozen, self-help books lining the shelves of bookstores, and YouTube tutorials for every tip under the sun. And it's still never enough. Why do messages like "you're the hero of your story" and "trust yourself" ultimately still lead to anxiety, fear, uncertainty, and despair?
We're Andrea Burke and Lori Ferguson Wilbert, and we want to talk through some of these counterfeit gospels American women believe today. We invite a guest each week to talk about beauty trends, diet culture, social media, clean living fads, singleness, dating, friendship, and more.
We've been changed by the reality that in Christ, we truly are good enough for this never enough world. We also believe it's God and God alone who approves us, who called humans good when he created us and is himself enough.
This is Good Enough.
Hey friends, today's episode is sponsored by the Dwell Bible app. Dwell offers listeners plans that walk through each book of the Bible. For example, last night my daughter started listening to Esther on the 7-day plan. You could listen through Romans in a week, or listen to something like the Gospel of John in a month, or you could spend 40 days listening to the life of Christ in the Gospels. Dwell has so many different plan options for working your way through Scripture on a day-to-day basis. You just press play and listen to Scripture wherever you go. Dwell is offering a 33% off discount to Good Enough listeners. So go to dwellapp.io/goodenough to get 33% off of an annual or a lifetime membership. That's dwellapp.io/goodenough. We're super excited today to have Becky Wilson here with us. She is the wife of pastor and writer Jared Wilson, and mother of two teenage girls, Grace and Macy Wilson. And we're really excited to talk with her today about the issue of self-care. When Lori and I were talking about who to bring on the podcast, we were kind of throwing some names around, and we both said, you know, we want to have people who are faithful, not just famous. Like, we want some voices of men and women who have just faithfully done the work without the public applause or all the things to motivate them to do it other than just serving the Lord. And so we both said, Becky Wilson, we need to have her on the podcast. And when I reached out to Becky, she replied, "Don't you know I'm happily a nobody?" Which I was like, yeah, that's exactly why we wanted to have you on here, because like that was what we're looking for. Like, we know that you're just going to speak from what, you know, what you're doing with your daughters and in your own life and your faithfulness that we've seen kind of from the sidelines. So we're really glad to have you here. Becky, is there anything you want people to know about you?
Oh, you know, I really am super happily a nobody. And so there's not much to talk about, except that I just, you know, I do love the Lord, and I love to see the way he works in our lives. And I love to see the way my girls are growing to know him better and understand him better. And, you know, he's Christ is the champion of my life, and I get it wrong a lot, but when I get it right, it changes everything. And so I just love to see other people embracing that too, and maybe learning some things in a little bit easier way that I had to learn the hard way. So yeah, whatever I can do to impact that and to speak into that, I'm just really happy to do so.
And we're super happy to have you here. Just talking about the issue today that we'll be talking about is the issue of self-care. And so just the way that we've just seen the way that it gets talked about in the world, the way that it gets talked about in the church. And I think we've kind of described it as like, there's sort of this pendulum swing of like the world talks about it, like this thing we obsess about. We, you know, put yourself first all the time. The mantras are everywhere. And then the church can kind of swing to the opposite extreme. We're spiritual beings. We can forget that we're embodied creatures. We can forget that God created us as flesh and blood and in need of sleep and healthy eating and good rhythms and rest and all those things. And so what's your sort of observation as you think about the issue of self-care? I know you said you have lots of thoughts about it. And so we just want to hear, like, what are some thoughts that you have about self-care, and how have you sort of, what have you observed?
Like I said earlier, my initial gut reaction to the term self-care is very different from my thoughtful process reaction. And what I mean by that is, just really honestly, I tend to just sort of cynically roll my eyes and go, it's mostly a load of crap, you know? I'm sorry, can I say that?
Yes, you can.
You're fine.
Say that.
You're fine.
but I think it's because varying definitions of it than the concept of it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, unpack that.
Yeah, there's a big difference in working a very normal 8-hour shift at a not super crazy demanding job and having 4 coffee breaks where you drink a $6 cup of coffee during the day and acting like that was the worst day ever and now you need a spa day to make up for it. You know, that's not self-care. That's entitlement. That's, you're probably a spoiled brat. I mean, I'm sorry. That's just, but I do think that it's important to care for our bodies, you know, for sure. These are our only temples. We only get one. We only get one chance at this. And so, you know, nutrition and health and those sorts of things are important to me. But there again, for what purpose? I mean, are we going to work out, you know, 7 times a day for 3 hours a day because we want to be a perfect size 4? Or are we going to work out 3 or 4 times a week as much as we have time for because we just want our bodies to last and we want to be have energy to serve people and love people and, you know, do the things that the Lord has called us to do? I just think there are huge differences in the way people define self-care. And then beyond that, you know, what exactly is it that we're caring for? Because if our bodies are important for sure, but are we caring for our souls in the midst of that? Like, you know, if the only thing that's important to us is whether we have perfect skin until we die and all of our clothes are beautiful and all of that kind of thing, what does the pursuit of holiness look like? I mean, it has to be both. Mm-hmm. And frankly, it has to be a lot more of the pursuit of holiness and caring for our souls. You know, our bodies, yeah, we got to care for them. But at the end of the day, if we have, you know, a deteriorating soul and a beautiful body, that's just, it's just death is waiting. You know what I mean? So yeah. I just think it's important to keep those things, not even balanced. I don't think even balanced is the right word, but just in the proper perspective.
Lori and I were talking about this earlier before we started talking with you. And I was asking, like, since when does like normal, healthy adult habits, since when did that become self-care? Like, I think we've made it so self-centered. We've like made a way to make just normal, healthy habits all about us.
Yeah. And
so like you need to sleep. People need to sleep. They need to eat good food and they need to enjoy God's creation, Sabbath rest, have friends, have a good community. Those are all parts of just healthy living. And yet now they're all deemed as like my self-care. And we've made these things that are good about us. So we've kind of put ourselves at the center of this story and like turn something good into idolatry.
Yes.
And then it's never enough, right? Then you can never get enough of that thing. Because now it's like a worship issue.
I think part of it too, is that we just have such a, like our culture is so busy right now and we're just going 27 different directions at all times. Constantly have, you know, tiny computers at our fingertips all the time and tiny people and cars that get places faster and all of those things. And so it feels there's a feeling of like me time is more precious and necessary because we are kind of spread so thin. And I wonder, I just think about Paul's words to the Thessalonians, like live a quiet life and work with your hands or keep quiet life and work with your hands. And I wonder if so much of the sort of glut of information about self-care right now is because we aren't caring about the most immediate sort of sphere around us or not caring for our home most intimately or our family or even our own body. We're just caring more about the world around us and the people around us and other opinions around us more than those things. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because also, you know, I mean, really the term self-care is, I mean, we were never designed to be self-carers. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lord designed us to need each other.
Yeah.
And him. Exactly. He's for sure. And so it's almost, by definition, it's a pursuit. It's just Ecclesiastes, right? It's a pursuit of something that you're never going to be able to fulfill by yourself because you weren't created to be able to fulfill that need by yourself. Like we need our souls need community. Our souls need communion with the Lord for sure. Our souls need, you know, the promptings of the Holy Spirit, but our souls need each other as well. And so when we're constantly sort of self-medicating all by ourselves in ways that are entirely under our control and no one else is sort of feeding into it or speaking into it, mm-hmm. it's always going to be an endless cycle. It's never going to be enough because it's not the true need of our soul. So that void is still going to be there.
Yeah. So that brings me to this question then. What does the pursuit, what do you guys see as the sort of the root of our desire in like what's going on in our heart when we are glorifying or obsessing about sort of self-care issues? What do you think is at the root of that in our hearts?
You know, for me, I think the deepest longing and the greatest need of any human soul is to know and be known. And by definition, that requires another person, right? Mm-hmm. So again, when we get on this treadmill of, well, I need another spa day, or I need a better wardrobe, or I need a better kind of coffee or more gourmet meals or whatever it is, none of those things are speaking to that greatest need of our heart. And so it's just, it has to become idolatry, because it's not, we've made it this, you know, the thing that we think that we need the most and that we have to have the most. It's not meeting any of the needs that we're actually trying to fill. And we don't even see that. Mm-hmm. We just keep chasing after the, just one more, you know, this will be the one. And that's just never going to work. You know, Jared always talks about how the reason there's a whole new set of self-help books every 3 months is because none of them work. Mm-hmm. That's not really what we need. What we need is for that void to be filled with Christ, with scripture, with prayer, with, you know, other people speaking into our lives and with truth and all those things. And unfortunately, I think too many people aren't pursuing that with the same energy that they pursue the other stuff.
Yeah. What we do is we add, so we'll say, I just need, you know, more, like you were saying, like coffees or a better wardrobe. And then we're like, all right, that's not working. So I guess I need to start eliminating people, environments, words. Like we start creating things. Well, maybe if I take all these things away, I'm going to cut like toxic people out of my life. And then we decide that we just kind of think that removing or adding things, when we don't realize that the thing that's same in all of those scenarios is us. Like we're the one that's like in all of those things and it's not getting better. And like, I think self-care almost has this implication that God isn't taking care of us. And so we need to find the thing that is going to fix us, and that God, you know, he's not going to take care of our needs, or he's not going to actually help me, or the local church, or the people he's put us with to, you know, practice all the one another's with, that they're not going to help me out here. So I just need to look out for number one. And we put ourselves in the center of that and exhaust ourselves. I mean, it's just, it's exhausting.
I found, for me, the sort of, I can be really drawn to just feeling comfortable. Like, I just want to feel comfortable. I just want to feel peace. I want to feel like, not stressed or like affected by, difficult things in life or in my mind, and so if I can just turn it all off in some way, then it will help me get through it. What do you think are some other sort of root desires or idols that you think women might face regarding this issue in particular?
Oh, I think approval is for sure always way up there. You know, we want people to like us. We want people to think we're, you know, beautiful and funny and capable and smart and all those things, which is not a bad thing in and of itself, but if you have to recreate yourself in order to earn those things, what have you really accomplished? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're presenting yourself as a completely different person in order to gain that approval, then they're not approving you. They're approving some facade, some persona, some alter ego, you know, that isn't you at all. And so that's not only not helpful, it's destructive.
What do you think are some ways, like unpack that a little bit. What do you think are some ways that women sort of recreate themselves through self-care?
Yeah. Well, just, you know, the images we put forth, it's like, what are the latest trends? What is everybody doing? What is everybody eating? What is everybody wearing? Well, who cares? Mm-hmm. Who are you? What do you want to eat? What do you want to wear? You know, what do you, you're a unique person. And this is something, you know, I struggle so much with my girls to try to teach them this in a way that I think is healthy because, you know, they're teenagers. They want to fit in to some degree. They're great, smart, amazing girls. And it's not even an issue. I learn a lot more from them than they do me. But that being said, it's still my job to try to be their mom, right? So I'm trying to help them learn how to be themselves uniquely and beautifully themselves. But at the same time going, you know, the world's going to tell you that you can be whatever you want to be. And that's really not true. What you need to do is learn how to be exactly the person the Lord created you to be, because that's where you're going to find your happiness and your fulfillment. Yes. And if you're always trying to look like someone else or talk like someone else or eat the same things or dress or whatever it is, there's no fulfillment in that ever. It's in fact, it devalues you. You know, you're not good enough, so you have to look like, act like, speak like, whatever, someone else. There's nothing good that can come from that ever, mm-hmm. ever.
I think a lot about Psalm 139 where it says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And I think, I know that I can just forget that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, that I was knit together in my mother's womb. Like God very intentionally knit this body together, this mind, this, everything about me was created very intentionally by Him. And I think you're so right on the money just about looking like other people and just trying to fit in instead of saying, why did God give me this body and how should I care for this body instead of how is everyone else caring for their bodies? And sure, I understand like it's helpful to sort of share knowledge sometimes, but I think we're in a culture that's really obsessed with sharing knowledge instead of trusting that God in His goodness and faithfulness intentionally created my body, your body.
One of the issues too is that not only are we obsessed with sharing knowledge, it's everyone's talking, nobody's listening, right? So like we're not listening to what your needs might be and then sharing how we can speak to that. We're just forcing our opinions on everyone and saying this is going to fit everyone, right? Like everyone's going to have, this is going to work for all of you. That's never true. Mm-hmm. Like my nutritional needs are probably totally different from yours. And things that work for me, you know, as far as rest and rhythms and all that kind of stuff, you might be like, no. So sharing knowledge is to me a two-way street. Like you need to communicate with the person you're trying to share with in order to know what it is they need. And I don't think anybody's really doing that much anymore. They're just throwing out their opinion and make it fit, you know?
What do we do about the women who are exhausted and spent? I keep thinking of like mothers of young children who, like this morning, for example, my toddler was puking everywhere. No. Everywhere, just like running around the house, just a fountain. And that's the moment where I think, you know, all that I want is a nice hot cup of coffee and no one to talk to me for a little bit.
Yeah.
And so what we don't want to do is to make women feel guilty who do need to actually say, hey, I do need to step away. I need to find a way to make sure I'm not, you know, running myself into the ground. And maybe some of that is the is this just for me, or I need to do that thing so I can be a better mom to my kids. And maybe that's the difference, is that we say, you know, I need to take a hot shower or drink a cup of coffee because I want to feel better, versus saying I need to do that so that I can love you better. So that I can be a mom that you want to actually be around or something like that.
I was thinking about Mark chapter 12 this morning when Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And then he says, the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. And I think I know that I can get sort of trapped up in that love your neighbor part, and I can forget that Jesus finished it with as yourself. And so I can't love my neighbor well if I'm not in some way caring for myself. And so Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, if you're a dry well, you have nothing to give anybody else. Right. So, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you have to, but I think that goes back to what you asked, Andrea, like, how do we, what do we say to these exhausted women? And, you know, I mean, there's no silver bullet, right? But for me, it's just to say, you know, as gently as we can say this, because it's difficult, right? When you're just so busy and being pulled in a million different directions. But I think you have to say, look, you have to make time, not wait for time to come to you. You have to make time for intimacy with Christ. I mean, you have to, and because that's what's going to fill your soul. That's what's going to fuel you. That's what's going to keep you, you know, keep your perspective right. And it doesn't have to be hours and hours a day. You know, it really doesn't. It just has to be instead of something that is so temporary, you know, scrolling Facebook or whatever it is that, I'm not saying there's anything specifically wrong with
right
that.
Now. Yeah, I hear you.
But it's not going to help you to scroll Facebook for 5 minutes when you could have spent that time in prayer. Mm-hmm. Or if that's the only 5 minutes today you have to yourself, choose prayer. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And just learn how to become intimate with the Father in as many ways as you can in those little snatches of time that you have, because none of those other things are going to work, and they probably are going to make it worse, you know, because you're comparing yourself now, you're jealous, now you're bitter, now you're whatever, mm-hmm. all the things that social media tends to do. Yes. Yeah, it's just not helpful. We've got to feed our souls with the right fuel, or they're just going to fall apart, you know?
Like we were talking about that whole old euphemism, joy. Remember in like the 90s Christian movement, it was Jesus, others, yourself. That was like the way that you were supposed to live. And I think that what we've done is we've said like, Jesus doesn't care about me. So I've got to think about Jesus. And then I've got to think about others because I shouldn't be thinking about me. And then we put ourselves at the end of that. But like Christ wants to know us, and he wants us to know him fully so that we can go and love others well. And mm-hmm. So I think that we've kind of flipped that on its head now, and we say, okay, now it's yourself, and then you can love others. And then if you have time, squeeze it in there, then you can spend some time with Jesus. And so I do think that like spending time with the Lord is as much, like you said, 5 minutes. Like I tell the women of my church, like 5 minutes in the Word is going to do more for you than you just trying to do it on your own willpower for the rest of the day. It's amazing it's the Lord, like what the Spirit does with that time. He uses it to continually fuel you throughout the day, and your kids see you doing that. Like that's, mm-hmm. Even if they're climbing all over your back, like taking that time, knowing that it's for your own heart and your own soul, that we, that's where we were created to come alive and feel all the things we want to feel are actually found in Christ and in the Word, not outside of it.
So thinking about that, like what are some scriptures that you would send a woman who's feeling tired and just wants to know that God gives her rest? Maybe
I was actually
feeling
speaking to a friend
uncared for.
Yes. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, mm-hmm. sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And the thing that I've read that scripture a bazillion times, but the thing that really just pierced my heart this morning was seeing it's living and active. So every single time I'm in scripture, something is happening. And it might not be some instantaneous correction of whatever situation I find myself in. It might not change the circumstances in any way, but scripture is always active, living, doing something in my heart, doing something in my soul, storing up power for later, you know, whatever it is. And so, like you said, even if it's 5 minutes, something is happening, you know, and the opposite spectrum is, you know, we do whatever the mindless, easy thing is, scroll through, you know, maybe harmless, but certainly not helpful junk that just defeats us. Why would we keep doing that? You know, let's choose the thing that has power, that has the ability to transform our hearts, and it makes a huge difference, and it all builds too.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So maybe it's just 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there, but 5 minutes every single day, mm-hmm. for a month, I mean, it's a pretty good time in scripture.
Yeah. You know? I've told women who say, so what you're saying, God just doesn't want me to worry about how I'm feeling. He doesn't care about how I'm feeling. And we go to Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Mm. Like, he is aware that we have this inner life, these thoughts, this need. And he wants to strengthen us with power through his Spirit, that he doesn't want us to neglect that, but he wants to speak life there so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend. And it goes on that, like, he isn't saying, no, you're, you know, the way you feel doesn't matter. Get over it. Just follow me. He absolutely cares and has a plan to address that very thing through him. And so he's not like the last stop after we try to figure it out on our own. He is the first place we go to be strengthened so that we can be fueled to continue on.
I think sometimes some of what gets us to the place where we're kind of looking at these sort of empty wells, these broken cisterns for care, is because we don't take our thoughts captive. We're not letting the Spirit guide our minds. We're kind of letting our flesh kind of go wherever it wants to go. And I was thinking about Philippians 4, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And I think, I'm not saying, you know, thinking something not absolutely results in feeling better, but I do think there is something really powerful about our thoughts and taking them captive and setting them on things that are true and honorable and just and pure, instead of on these broken places and spaces. Or even just like broken places about ourselves. I know when I'm thinking about sort of the brokenness of my body or the brokenness of a situation that I'm living through or a relationship, when I'm just dwelling on those things and ruminating on those things, I can feel the need for all those things that don't really satisfy much more intensely. Like if I just take a bath, if I just get some alone time, if I just get more coffee, whatever, then things will be better. But if I think, stop, just step back. What's honorable about this, or what's dishonorable actually? And has God called honorable, or what is just about this? And just even stepping back for a minute and thinking through those things, I think has the power, by the power of the Spirit, has the ability to just change things in the sort of the spiritual realms. So it changes things in our hearts as well.
Sure. I read, not too long ago, Mike Cosper's book, Recapturing the Wonder. Mm-hmm. And I won't try to quote it directly because I would botch it for sure, but he talks about, you know, we need to create spaces for intimacy with God and for stories and experiences that exist between only us and him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so true. And, you know, and I would then take it a step further, and it just sounds like I'm totally bashing social media, and I don't, it's not bad in and of itself.
Go for it.
That, but I do think it, unfortunately, used very, just not well by most people. So I read that and immediately my brain went to, yeah. And when you do it, like, leave it a be. Don't get on social media and go, hey, everyone, I just had a really special moment with God. Come and read about it and be really impressed with me. Okay. Because that's what we do, right? Like, we can't even leave that alone. We have this beautiful, amazing moment with the Lord. And what's the first thing we want to do? We want to make it public.
Back to what you were saying earlier about just like wanting to be something that we're not, like just putting on something that we're not. And that is, I think, so important when we think about the issue of self-care. It's so important to remember who we are and who our identity in Christ is, and not just our spiritual identity, but our physical identity. Like, who did he make me to be? Yeah. And then we don't need to like seek approval in those ways.
Yeah, that's interesting. Makes me think how many actions of self-care that even that, you know, I've done or the people have done that I say, I'm doing this for me. And then I put it on Instagram because I'm really doing it because I want everyone to like it and see that I'm doing that thing. So whether that's like reading scripture or just, I don't know, whatever it is, I'm like, look it, I finally made it to a coffee shop. When I'm like, I say I need quote unquote alone time. And then I invite, you know, thousands of people to join me on my alone time. It's absurd if you think about that, but that even that motivation revealing like what is actually behind this drive for, right. you know, some of the self-care that we do. Is it genuinely that we do need some restoration and we're feeling depleted? Or is it that we're hungering for something we shouldn't be hungering for? And it's right. kind of revealed in our actions, even though we don't see it.
Right. So that kind of brings us to like my next question is like, how do these truths about what God says about who we are, who he is, who our families are, all those things, how do those truths sort of, let's make this practical now for women, in regarding self-care, how do we care for ourselves as embodied beings? What does fruit look like in this? Does that make sense?
Yeah. And that's a hard question because, you know, I think honestly, the only way to sort of measure that fruit is by those little tiny moments of sanctification that happen in your heart that nobody else can see, but that, you know, the only way that would have happened was from the Holy Spirit. It has happened to me often in my life where I will just have this moment where I realize I just do not care anymore about insert whatever, you know, a certain thing that I thought I always wanted or a certain opinion of someone or whatever it is. And I know that my strength didn't conjure that because I know that I've wanted it. Here's a great example. Okay. Laura, you came to my house when we lived in Vermont. You know, the Lord provided for us there and it was what it was, but it was hard living for a lot of reasons. And somehow through that experience, the Lord taught me to hold things, any material things, so much more loosely than I ever would have before. And when we got to Kansas City here, and please don't hear this as a brag. It is not. This is the Lord's work. I'm telling y'all, it is the Lord. It is not Becky Wilson in any way. But, you know, he just provided a little bit more for us as far as finances and resources and whatever else. And we ended up in this home that sometimes I still get tears in my eyes to think, why am I allowed to live here? And I literally feel that, like, to the core of my soul, why am I allowed to live here? And the only solution I can come up with is that the Lord wants me to use this home in every way that I can think of to serve others and to honor him with it. Mm-hmm. And I'm just telling you that I didn't feel that way 15 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so it's learning how to listen to the Lord and hear what he's really saying to our very hearts and to say, I believe with all my heart that the Lord created me to host people, to love on people, to be in the background of things. I never want to be on a stage. I never want to be in a spotlight ever. But I do want people in my home. I want to always be cooking, always. And even cleaning up after them because, you know, I can stand there at my kitchen sink and just sort of rehearse all the things that have happened in my home, this amazing home that the Lord has given me and how he's allowed me to share it with so many people. But that is sanctification. You know what I mean? That is me going, it doesn't have to look exactly perfect. I mean, guys, we've lived here for 3.5 years and I've hung maybe 2 things on the walls. I'm not even kidding. Like, my walls are bare because I just don't care. I don't care. What I care about is what happens inside these walls.
Yeah.
And that is the Lord doing that in my heart and in my soul and teaching me that through a series of experiences in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and I think that works in so many areas of life. Like, we just have to go, okay, what am I supposed to learn from this? Not, well, this stinks, you know, this is the worst day ever, because usually it's a really dumb reason if we're being honest, because we're so spoiled and comfortable in America. But, you know, how can I cling to Christ more tightly and know him more deeply through whatever it is that I feel like I'm suffering through right now? I think that we just have to learn how to do that. And it's not easy.
I think of with kids how, you know, there will be days where I feel like I'm spent and what the Lord does allow me to do is to go take a rest. You know, Jed comes home and he's like, hey, go get a cup of coffee, go take a nap or whatever. there are also days that I'm exhausted and spent, and the Lord's like, hey, you need to push into this. You need to stick closer. You need to listen to that conversation again that she said for, you know, 10 minutes. You need to like put down your phone, put down your to-do list and sit with your son, even though it fights against everything in your soul. Because there is, I think, like you said, those hidden things of sanctification, that each moment is different. And so even like we look at social media, we see one girl who's, you know, whatever, you going to the coffee shop, or she's buying something, or she's working out, or she's doing the things that we think we deserve too. We don't know what God's doing in her heart. Right. Like maybe he's trying to teach her something, or maybe she's being disobedient. Like, we just don't know. We only can answer for what God's telling us to do in each specific moment, which is why there really can't be a map for self-care.
Yeah,
for
everybody. Yeah.
It's just what, like you said, what is in front of you, and how is God calling you to be faithful in that moment on that day? And what does it look like to depend on him in that moment? Does it look like rest? Does it look like surrender? Does it look like dying to yourself? Each day could look different. And then you don't get to walk out of that situation and go, well, here's the answer. I've found the answer.
Yeah.
What you need to do is, like, that's not how it works.
There's no silver bullet, right? Ever.
Each week we want to kind of offer a challenge to listeners about the subject that we're sort of talking through. And I thought Andrea had a really great idea for a challenge to offer this week. Do you want to share what that was?
Yeah. So one thing that we had talked about was the work of self-care. We have kind of a choice when it comes to taking care of ourselves. Are we doing it to honor the Lord, to, like we were just saying, submit to his lordship and his control in our lives? Are we doing it to take care of ourselves so that we can be a better steward and serve others well? Or does it terminate on us? Is it saying, I'm doing this thing for me, and that's the end of the sentence? Which I don't think that that's what God calls us to do. I don't think we see a precedent for that in scripture that says, do this thing to terminate on yourself. Everything God calls us to is to know him more, or to serve others more, or both. And so the challenge we would say, I think this week, is when you are feeling drawn to those moments of self-care or whatever it might be that you do to, in those moments, like we were just talking about, ask yourself, who am I serving in this moment? And does this terminate on me? Am I doing this for my joy? Or is this something that God is asking me to do, or that I need to submit to him and not do? And so kind of to check our own hearts in those moments, to see who it's for, and if it's, you know, how we're supposed to respond in that moment.
That's a good challenge. Becky, thank you so much for being a guest with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So much wisdom. Really quickly, we have a minute more. What's one thing that you would say to a mother of a teen girl right now, or preteen girl, regarding self-care?
Oh, gosh. Listen to her. You know, I think we can learn so much. We all have this idea that we are the wise mothers, you know, we have so much more life experience, but I'm trying to tell you, their world is so much different than ours was. And we need to not belittle that. We need to listen to them and hear what kinds of things they're facing and dealing with, and then try to bring our wisdom to bear on that, but to understand that their lives really are different and they need to react to things differently than we did.
Yeah.
That's good.
Thank you. Andrea, is that good?
That's good enough. Good Enough is a podcast for women by Andrea Burke and Lori Ferguson Wilbert. We've been friends for almost 20 years, and we've watched one another grow, fall, and be formed by both the world and the Lord. There have been times when we felt swallowed by the feeling of being never enough as women, Christians, singles, wives, and mothers. And we've watched the same happen to our sisters in Christ.
The message to many women facing the feeling of being never enough is that they are enough. Mantras like "you are enough" are in plenty, but they're always followed by "but." You're enough, but buy this clean product. You're enough, but do this diet. Do this exercise program. Your marriage needs this. Your parenting needs this. Your dating life needs this. But all these messages ultimately still lead to anxiety, fear, uncertainty, and despair. They're eventually found to become what the Bible calls empty cisterns, places we come to seeking refreshment, but ultimately find dry.
We care about these subjects, and we care about women, and we believe God is the author of all truth, goodness, and beauty. We know the enemy's greatest delight is to take what's true from God and twist it just enough that it hurts God's people. So we want to talk through some of these counterfeits and see where the seemingly good intentions about them veer off from God's best intentions about them.
We believe it's possible to find the good in this world where we all feel like never enough. But we also believe it's God and God alone who approves us, who called humans good when he created us and is himself enough.